The Utah Air Quality Board looks at creating stricter regulations. Governor Gary Herbert says Utah is ready and willing to host another Olympic Games, and teen unemployment rates continue to remain high. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, December 4th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Utah Air Quality Board will meet tomorrow to look at a new set of state regulations aimed at cleaning up winter air pollution. The new rules would impose stricter standards in Cache County as well as the Wasatch Front. KUER's Whitney Evans reports the new plan has to meet standards set by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, with federal highway funding at risk if it fails.
50-year-old John Chevalier has been involved in the auto body business since he was 18. After managing dealerships over the years, he now owns the largest independent collision repair service in Ogden, Utah. He says he's conscious of the air quality issues associated with the chemicals he uses to fix vehicles. And Chevalier says he's mitigated those issues over the years.
Even standing in here with the paint going, you hardly even smell any paint or see any paint because it dissipates through the filter system, you know. And we're not putting very much of it in the air anyway. We're using very low pressure. So most of the stuff we're spraying is going on the vehicle instead of into the air.
According to the new state implementation plan Utah must approve by mid-December, Chevalier's business and others like it will now have to regularly track how much paint they buy, how much paint they spray, and measure the amount of vapors those paints release into the air. Chevalier says he doesn't have a problem complying with the new law. He's concerned with being penalized if he exceeds the limit the state has set.
If you're busy and business causes you to generate more volume, and then there's a penalty, how do you pay for that penalty?
One of the new rules would require body shops and bakeries, for example, be fined up to $4,000 for exceeding the limit on VOCs, or volatile organic compounds, released into the air. Chevalier says a $4,000 fine could cost someone their job.
Bakeries are going to lay people off. Body shops are going to cut back. It's basically a tax that's going to affect the economy.
Chevalier expressed his concerns online about the proposed regulations during a 30-day public comment period. Right now, residents of the Wasatch Front counties have to get their cars tested every other year when they renew their license tags. But Cache County Council member Craig Peterson says that's too much for Cache County. Peterson claims Cache County's air quality is only bad for a few days each winter, and he says the program would cost $1 million a year for only a slight improvement in air quality.
So even though it's been used in other places, we're not convinced that that's a prudent policy for us.
Cache County has endorsed a voluntary testing program that would give those who choose to participate a sticker to put in the back window. Those who choose not to get their vehicles tested would not be allowed to drive on bad air days. Peterson acknowledges that would be a tough sell to the Federal Environmental Protection Agency.
What we're looking for is some type of a compromise. And I should mention, too, you know, that if this comes to a confrontation between Cache County and the EPA, we know we're going to lose. The EPA holds the trump cards. The EPA could ultimately come in and they could impose an emissions testing program on us.
Mara Honenberg studies meteorology and atmospheric science at the University of Utah. She says while the new rules are a good first step, they're not addressing Utah's unique problem.
Really, to bring us into attainment, we need to focus on when the air quality is actually the worst, which is during the inversion periods.
Honenberger says the state failed to include episodic controls in the plan, like reducing speed limits and having stricter rules for refineries and mining operations, specifically on bad air days.
Our city is not set up for everyone to be taking public transportation. But if during these inversion periods, we allowed free ridership, say, on UTA, and we were able to take some people off the roads, then that would help to limit pollution during those specific times.
State air quality officials admit the plan won't bring the state into compliance with the EPA immediately. They'll likely apply for multiple extensions, which are permissible under federal guidelines. That's the issue Kristen Urey has with the plan. She's a licensed social worker in Salt Lake City.
I have a serious problem when people in the state believe that we can't do better than we're already doing.
As a social worker, Urey often sees children who struggle to breathe at the height of the inversion season. She says most of those children are from low-income families who live in some of the most polluted areas along the Wasatch Front.
And many of those families are without vehicles. So number one, they're not contributing to the pollution with their vehicles, but they're also riding the bus, they're walking significantly, taking children to and from school.
Urey finds Utah's poor air quality to be more and more a socioeconomic problem that needs action now. Bryce Bird is director of the Division of Air Quality. He says what the EPA is requiring of the state is a tough standard to meet and will require about a 30% reduction in daily emissions along the Wasatch Front.
But we need to do it in a way that impacts industry, the community, the transportation sector as little as possible.
Although the plan must be submitted to the EPA by December 14th, Bird says the state has until 2014 to bring itself into compliance and can then petition the EPA for one-year extensions until 2019. But he says the state has to show continued progress each year.
So we can't just say we're going to keep the emissions as they are and then fix everything in 2019. It has to kind of be a glide slope between where we are and where we're meeting the standard.
Regarding emissions testing in Cache County, Bird says the board believes it has the authority to move forward with the mandatory program, but is evaluating all options. KUER's Dan Bomas contributed to this report. I'm Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Hopes for another Olympics in Utah were rekindled Monday as Governor Gary Herbert and Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker announced their decision to pursue a bid for the 2026 Winter Games. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The Olympic cauldron at Rice-Eccles Stadium is literally in Governor Herbert's view as he announces his decision based on the recommendations of an Olympic Exploratory Committee.
We've reviewed the report and are here to announce that Salt Lake City and the great state of Utah are ready, willing, and able to host a future Winter Olympic game.
Herbert says hosting another Olympics would strengthen Utah's image as a winter sports capital and would be a fiscally responsible choice for the state and the country since the venues are already built. Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker says Utah may also be viewed favorably by the International Committee because of its compactness and minimal carbon footprint.
So not only do we have an urban area to be able to host the quality and the size of what's needed today and going forward, but we have the capacity to do it in a way that minimizes the impact on the environment and allows us to really look at how we can even enhance our own position, I think, going forward.
But before Utah can pursue a bid, the U.S. Olympic Committee has to decide whether it will pursue a Summer Games in 2024 or Winter Games in 2026. That decision is expected in the next couple of months. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The unemployment rate for Utah's young adults remains at 11.1%. That's from the Annie E. Casey Foundation in its report, Youth and Work, Restoring Teen and Young Adult Connections to Opportunity. Terry Haven works with Voices for Utah Children, and she says it's important to have internships, mentoring, and youth volunteer programs in place so kids can learn the value of working.
They need that experience, and the kids that aren't getting it, we know from the research that they tend to be more unemployed as adults. They tend to not reach their full potential in terms of whatever career path they do choose. So it's really crucial to make sure that we create for these kids a pathway to success.
Haven says Utah kids are much better off than in most other states, and there are signs of improvement. Figures from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics rank Utah sixth in the nation for employment rates among young working adults 20 to 24, but the country's overall youth rate of employment is at its lowest level in 50 years. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it won't extend the public comment period for a proposal to list the coral pink sand dunes tiger beetle as a threatened species. Off-road vehicle enthusiasts worry a listing could cut off access to a large area of the Coral Pink Sand Dune State Park. But Larry Crist, the Utah Field Office Director for the Fish and Wildlife Service, is hoping to work out a compromise.
It has that potential. However, we're working right now with County Commissioner, State Parks, and other folks to address this issue and see if we can kind of come up with a workable solution to that, something which protects the tiger beetle but also still allows for the OHV use in the area. It's not our intent to try to eliminate OHV use.
Senator Mike Lee and Congressman Rob Bishop and Jason Chaffetz It asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to extend the public comment period, which expired yesterday. Crist says there will be another comment period on the economic consequences of that proposal early next year.
Friends and family are remembering the contributions of Dr. Homer Warner, who died last weekend at the age of 90. He pioneered the medical applications of computers and helped to found the first departments of biophysics and bioengineering at the University of Utah. The Deseret News reports he also served as a medical missionary, a scoutmaster, a bishop, and learned to enjoy sailing late in his life. Governor Gary Herbert will meet with President Obama today at the White House, along with governors from several other states. They're hoping to tell the president the actions he takes to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff could have serious effects on the states. The Deseret News reports the legislature's fiscal analyst warns Utah could lose as much as $500 million if the automatic spending cuts set for the end of the year actually take effect. And finally, a state commission is proposing pay raises for Utah's governor and other elected officials. Right now, Governor Gary Herbert earns just under $110,000 a year. The Salt Lake Tribune reports his annual salary could go to $150,000 under a proposal from the Elected Official and Judicial Compensation Commission. Other elected officials, such as the auditor and attorney general, would be paid $142,500. Commissioner Chair Roger Tu says pay raises for elected officials have been delayed for almost a decade. At the same time, House Majority Leader Brad Dee is proposing a change in the way legislators are paid. Currently, they get $117 a day, plus a $95 per diem for lodging and $61 for meals. Dee's proposal would combine those into a salary of $16,380 a year. They'd be reimbursed separately for any actual lodging, meal, or travel expenses. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, December 4th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.